His name is wonderful. I believe that was the song that was just played. I don't know all the words to it, but I remember that part. I pray that my emotions will not get the best of me this evening. I know that sometimes by emotion you can sway people, but I would rather have God's Spirit to sway you. May my lips bless the name. Of my God forever. That's what I felt this morning during our prayer service. My lips bless His high and holy name forever. I heard this week several testimonies that caused me to lift up my heart in joy and thanksgiving to God. Listening to the testimonies of my brothers and sisters, listening to the comments that some of our brothers made as they opened services, all things work together for good. Often all things work together for one purpose, God's purpose. I heard a sister this week, this last Wednesday night, at a prayer service. I heard her pray. I listened. And I was blessed by her prayer. As she prayed, I could tell that she was filled with love for her God. She was filled with love for her brothers and sisters, and she prayed for those who were sick and afflicted. And I could tell she understood. She understood what it was like to suffer. And she prayed for God's people, prayed for those who were sick, that God would help them with their frustrations. And she has a load of her own. And her lips blessed God. And I praised God for that, that her lips blessed the Lord. This evening, my mind is drawn out to young people, ministers, sinners. This last week, 27th of March, I celebrated my 32nd wedding anniversary. I had occasion in the evening as I sat with my wife. I turned to her and I said, I would choose you again. I feel kind of foolish. I haven't felt quite like this for a long time. I'm convinced, and I declare, you are chosen people. God yet chooses you. Perhaps you wonder why and how can this possibly be? But God is true. He is faithful. We sing a song often. It's like our theme song, number 296, The Old, Old Path. It's our song. It is the path that our Savior walked. Duane mentioned we had an opportunity to go to Jerusalem. As I walked around that city, and I was there the first day that we were there and walking around, something came into my mind, and I shared it with the people there. You know, this is our city. Jerusalem belongs to us. It does. Now, there's all kinds of people there right now, but it belongs to you. It's your city. Someday, God's people will walk in that city once again. We had a little sacrament service there. And I don't know, you know, I remember the story that Clarence told when he and Angela went there to Jerusalem, and I have no idea whether they had a sacrament service there or not, but we had a sacrament service. And they probably had with the two of them, no doubt, but I don't know. Dick's nodding his head, so maybe that's what they told him. So I'll have to assume that that's exactly what happened. But a congregation of the Church of Christ had a sacrament service in Jerusalem. There are people from Arizona and Missouri, New York and Canada. All kinds of different thoughts, different perspectives. Church of Christ returned to Jerusalem for a little while, and we had a sacrament service. I hope that it means something. It certainly did to me. As I sat there and was thinking about that particular service in the morning, it was as though a voice spoke to me. And as we were contemplating, well, should we have the sacrament service or not? You know, well, you know, they got people from all, you know, they got different ideas. What should we do and what should we serve and all that kind of stuff? And people said, well, you know, there was somebody who talked to Brother Joel and Brian, Brother Brickhouse. We thought, well, what should we do? I knelt down beside my bed in the morning on that day, and I told the Lord, I said, what should we do? In just a couple hours, we're going to be there. Should we do it or not? I got up and continued to get ready, and it was as though a voice spoke to me and said, you should do this. Question was posed to me, when was the last time the Church of Christ had the sacrament in Jerusalem? And I thought, well, maybe it was with Clarence and Angela. Brother Frank told me later on that perhaps it was even clear back before 70 AD. I have this desire in my mind. I would like, with all my heart, I would like to heal everything and raise people up who are sick. I would like to heal broken hearts, but I know I can't. But I know who can. And so my sermon this evening is about the pathway that God has placed before us. this old, old path. I want to bring to you a scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're living in this time since the time of our Savior Jesus Christ, when those who cry out unto God, unto the Lord, I believe they can be saved and that God will save them. And I think it gives immediately some qualifications. In the day that we live in, there's all kinds of politicians promising to do things, and there's things happening, you know, that in the world, and science is reaching new heights, and maybe you're going to have a new heart someday that they're going to grow in a laboratory someplace. You know, all this kind of stuff, they're going to save people. But if you look to your government and you cry out to them for salvation, you will not be saved. If you cry out to the scientists of the world for salvation, you will not be saved. If you cry out unto God, you can be saved. Brother Frank, when he was in the Philippines, he was preaching and talking one time, and he was talking about the Word of God, and he read several passages of Scriptures from one book in the Bible. And as I looked at it, and as he read it, and about the third one he mentioned, as I read it, it was as though I was looking at this chapter for the first time in my life. And it's Psalms 119. And I'd never seen it before. I never really looked at it. You know, you read through it and it just repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself. And then as I looked at it, I realized this chapter in the book of Psalms is about someone who was walking on the path. Somebody who connected every step that he took with the Word of God. That is the old, old path. Every step you take must be taken with the Word of God. I'd like to just turn to it and look at a couple of verses. The first verse says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Verse 3, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." Verse 6, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments." You know, shame is a big thing that we have. Shame. We all have it at times. Shame. Filthy, dirty shame. Sin is such a vile thing. It is so disgusting. As you listen to the songs they sang this evening, what should happen to us if we're sinners? You should be on trial. You should be taken before judges. You should be accused and spit upon. You should be stripped and whipped. You should have a crown of thorns shoved on your head. You should be hung naked on a tree. You should die. Shame. It's so terrible. Sin. It is such a horrible thing. Bless the name of God Almighty. We can find the way out. Praise Him. disgusting natures. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, isn't it interesting? You know, a young man. I'm not going to claim that any longer. But I remember what it's like being a young man. I remember the energy, the passions of life, the desire to take risks and to... I remember all those things. I see our young men here today and young women, and I see myself. I can see these guys, you know, they're walking around, and I see myself. And I pray for them. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is the old path. This is the way in which young people and young men can find a way to cleanse their lives. There's a young man sitting back there, got a broken ankle. One day he was sitting with his father, and his father was talking about the gospel, and he'd had enough. I'll show him. I'll get in there and read that, and I'll prove him wrong. And he was converted when he tried. He picked up God's word, and he tried to prove it wrong, you know, and he couldn't do it. And it changed his life. I came here back when Manon was just a young lady. Still a lady. Remember a lot of these guys. How young they were. And I came here and lived here for a couple of years and changed my life. Now, I don't want you to take credit for it. And you can't. Because, Dick and his family, you know, they invited me over and spend time with them. But there was something else that I did, you know, and it was really nice. You know, they engaged. They saw this person, and they're my cousins, you know, and they invited me over, and we had all kinds of fun. We played games, and we went places and picnics, and I don't know what else we did. Shot bows and arrows and all kinds of things. But the thing that changed my life was picking up God's Word and reading it. Changed my life. I challenge young men and women to pick up the work, to pick up the gospel, to read it, and to have your life changed. Verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." It really is as though every verse or every set of verses is like a step on the pathway. Liberty. Freedom. Freedom. I can remember as a young man being filled with all of the juices of life, as our brother Orrin Cavendish used to say. You remember that? All the young people filled with the juice of life overflowing. And I remember being filled with sin and being miserable, absolutely miserable, until one day I realized that I had to return again to that innocence of my youth. You know, you get to be about 12 years old, and all of a sudden you aren't really happy anymore. I don't know. if any of you have noticed that. All of a sudden, things get more complicated. You just turn out, one day you wake up and it's just not as much fun as it was a couple of years ago. Why? You're a sinner. You got filth in your life and you need to change. But God's Word can do that for you. Walking in the way. So if someone's going to cry out to the Lord to be saved, they've got to be in the pathway. And if the Lord, I believe He yet chooses us, and He calls out to you, it's just like Joel read in the book of Revelation, that God has set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Nobody can take you off this path. No one. No one can tell you you're not part of this church. It's your choice. Nobody can say, because of something that you think, it's up to you. It's in your hands. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And here's one I like. You know, in the world today, there's a custom that just continues to grow and grow and grow. And I don't want to offend anybody, but it's a custom of, you know, raising your hands. We see it when you go to Africa. You see it when you go to the Philippines. And it's here too, you know, in this country. And I got no problem with people raising their hands. You know, I guess it's okay. I can't find any commandment against it. And I even remember seeing some of our old brothers used to do it. But I like this verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. You know, if you're going to do something, then lift up your hands. Instead of keeping them at your side and going through your life and playing your video games or watching your TV, you know, maybe you should pick up God's Word. Reach out and take it, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Each one. You see what he's doing? This man is walking through life. And every time you look at this, I've had all these thoughts. So have you. You look, you get afflicted, you have problems, you have joys, you have sorrows. But each one he connects with the Word of God. Each time. Each time. This is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. You know, I heard Brother Ken, or he's complained a couple of times that in today's society, there's no way of testing young people. You know, there's no rites of passage any longer. You know, there are in some places. When I was going to high school, I felt like I had kind of a rite of passage. I played football, you know, and somehow I felt like, well, you know, I achieved manhood or something. And maybe somebody goes to the army and you get tested. And it's true, it's a test. But this is a test. The test is, can you be a Christian? Can you pick up the Word of God and can you take the ridicule? It's a test of your courage. It's a test of your manhood, of your adulthood in Christ. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. We find him, he stepped off the trail, he stepped off the pathway, he let go of God's word, and afterward he was afflicted. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Ever feel like somebody lied against you or someone's plotted against you, somebody's against you? What is your answer? What is your response? Your response should be to hang on to God's word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You want to get close to God, this is the way. It is my testimony. If you want to get close to God, then you get into His Word and you read it and you study it and you meditate upon it. His Word is forever connected to heaven. His Word is forever connected to His Son. Verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. How did He establish the earth? He spoke. How can He establish you, and how can you abide? Listen to what He said. Hear Him. Read it. Verse 91, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. You know, this is kind of like a news report. Now let me explain myself. There's a lot of scriptures that tell me that everything that's happening today, God has control over. There is a tremendous political movement for power, I'm certain, in this world to get us to make laws about global warming. But this one says, you know, the heavens, the earth, that they're all His servants. They do according to what He wants. He's going to bring this world to repentance. It's like a weather report. You know, that all these things are happening. Everything's changing, isn't it? All the weathers, you don't know what to expect from one day to the next. You don't know when the next tidal wave is going to come. You don't know when the next earthquake is going to come. All these things are the servants of God. God's servants to do His bidding. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Each verse, another step. Each verse, talking about some thought that we have. As I read through this, everything that I read, I thought, you know, I have thought this at one time or another. I have been confronted by these same things. And each one, the answer, the response was, it was not only just that he found answers, it was a decision he made, but I will stay with God's Word. Just as we read in the Book of Mormon, there's a passage in 1 Nephi, chapter 2. Verse 77 through 81. And now I, Nephi, do speak, Do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and they caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. The promise that we have, if you will take hold of God's word, are any of you upset in life? Do you have problems? Are you feeling you need? I heard people express that during the solemn assembly. I heard them express that during our prayer services. A need, a desire for healing. Do you feel burnt out? Do you feel like something's missing in your life? The way is to get into the pathway and to walk in it and to hold on to the rod of iron until you can partake of the fruit of the tree of life. And again, I could be emotional, but I would hope that God's Spirit would tell you, that it would testify to you, this is the way to happiness. There is no other way. It has several other groups here. There's another group pressing on to a spacious building, the riches and the power and the glory of the world. And there's another group lost in the depths of a dirty fountain. How true that is. And one here, it says, and a multitude, and some lost from their view of people, wandering in strange roads. We are always on one of these, in one of these groups. You're either on the pathway holding on to the rod of iron and going towards God, or you're looking for that great spacious building, trying to get in there. You might be there. Or you're lost in the depths of that filthy fountain, or wandering in some strange road. I find it amazing. I've heard some people that have left the truth, left the gospel, and then someone tells me what they're doing. You're kidding. They're actually doing that, and they're doing something very strange. And others, of course, they just turn it aside, and they do enter into that great spacious building. I have relatives. I won't tell you who they are. But I have relatives. They enter into that great spacious building, and they look at me, they look at you, and they laugh. And there are some who get lost in the depths of filth. But this is exactly what will happen to us if we let go of God's word. You will quickly, quickly fall away. I would like to turn to the book of Alma, chapter 17. Verse 81, found on page 442. I just want to read one verse here. It says, O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them, that they would, if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. Looking to what? The words of Christ, the words of God. It is so easy. But you can't get it through to anyone. You have to take it up yourself. This is the way to happiness. This is the way to help you in your life. This is the way to be healed of your broken heart. It doesn't depend upon me. I can't heal you. But God can, and He will. And He yet chooses you after everything. I believe that with all my heart. You're a chosen people. As I was going through Jerusalem, and I began to hear some of the history of it, there had been 25 civilizations that that have ruled in Jerusalem. We got to one place there in one day, going down into the city of David, and some of us picked up little pieces of pottery. And you know, in the United States, if you do that, you know, it's against the law. But you know what they were doing with these things there? They were just making them for fill. There's so much of it from 25 civilizations. They were just making it for fill, and they're going to put sidewalks right over the top of it. They don't care. Unless it's got something written on it, then they care. Well, I picked it up. And I carry it with me to remember, you know, my experience there. But as I was there, a scripture came to my mind in the book of Ether. Just a phrase. It could not be a new Jerusalem. You remember that one? Talking about the old Jerusalem? It cannot be a new Jerusalem. Even though that city, that old city, belongs to Christ's children, it cannot be a new Jerusalem. As I was thinking about that, I got, you know, someday, you know, I was just reveling in this thought. Someday, somewhere, there's going to be a group of people sitting around a table, maybe in a conference, and they're going to decide to start building a city. Someone's going to say, by the inspiration of God, or maybe several someones, we should call this the New Jerusalem. Now, you know, but just think about it. Someone will sit there and say, we should call this the New Jerusalem. And it's your city. Certainly a lot of things have to happen before that. But somewhere, someone is going to do that. And it's going to be people who have been walking in the pathway. I really enjoyed the testimony that our brother Ron gave about a dream that somebody had about those people in those two churches and then the one little church getting on the pathway and going. And every time I heard something, something reminded me of the things that were upon my mind and about this chapter 119. I reveled in the fact when I heard my brother Placido talk about his experience, how he was just preaching a sermon like he would do normally on any day in the church, and he felt halfway through someone was standing behind him. And when he was saying that, a tear came to my eye, and I was comforted, and I thought, the Lord is still with us. He's with us. And it doesn't have to be some marvelous thing that we're doing, just taking care of God's kingdom and holding on to His Word and doing the things we need to do in God's church every day and with your families. God is with you if you're walking in the path. If. And He invites us to come and to come with Him and to walk in that path. I remembered the scripture in the 28th chapter of Matthew, where he says, you know, go and teach all nations and baptizing them and also teach them that all the things I have told you, and lo, I am with you always. So my message this evening is about the old path. My message this evening is that God still chooses you. My desire is that I could shake the ground and convince you, but that's not mine to have. But I pray that the Spirit of God will witness to you these things, that He will tell you of the truth of His Word, that He will inspire some young person, that some young person may be here tonight who has heard this, or some old person or some sinner who is trying to get out of sin is going to put their foot back on the path, or that some young person is going to try and experiment and just see if Brother Moser is right Pick up God's word and see what happens. Verse 130 of chapter 119. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. I've had that experience. I have sad at times, and I pray and I cry for God's people, but I realize that the Lord has to teach each one of you. He has to call each one of you, and I can't by myself, you know, go out and try and remove the thorns, all the thorns that you have in your life. I can't do it. I can't destroy all the evil. All I can do is just try and point the way, and that's all that you can do is try and point the way. And all that you can do is to try and set your life in a course that will be of benefit to others. To when you come here to this place, to lift up your voice in song. And sometimes we discount these songs. And I had occasion here on Friday, I asked somebody, you know, about Brother Ronnie answered. I said, what does it mean here in Psalms 120 and it says, a song of degrees. You know, I had no idea what that meant. And he told me what it means. And he had a list there, and he said that, well, there was a couple of possibilities that the Bible scholars say. And when I went to Jerusalem, I'm sure he's right. Because they talked about how that they would get down by the pool, and they would have a procession to the temple, and they would sing as they went each song. And sometimes it is absolutely appropriate to sing to God. It is appropriate to lift up your voice in song and prayer. It is appropriate to bless His name. And sometimes as ministers, we're so concerned with people's sins, we don't bless God's name enough. And we should. We should lift up our voices to bless His name, to thank Him for everything. And then, you know, we will have to preach this gospel. But do not forget to bless His name. It's kind of interesting to me, the last verse of this chapter. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We always need His help. We need to cling to those commandments. We need to cling to His law and to walk therein. This evening, I feel the need to cease all my talking, to close. To plead with you to remember your heritage in God's Word. To lift up your hands and to grab a hold of these. To never let them go, to realize that if you do, you're lost. It is the cause of your greatest problems, whatever they may be. To remember that God has opened up a door for you, that no one can shut you out but you yourself. You are free to act for yourselves. your pains and your sufferings on the day that we would stand before God to be judged, He won't hear you talking about what somebody did to you or how it's there. He won't even listen. It'll be you. And my prayer is at that day that I will be able to bless Him forevermore. My prayer is that someday I will live long enough to see the next generation take hold of this gospel. I know it's the prayer of many of you. It is my hope that I will come here and I will see some of these young men standing up here, and I'll sit down there and listen to you. That I will see young families, more of them, more little ones. I'll be able to hear these little voices crying in the background. When I was growing up, there were a lot of us that used to say, you know, boy, I don't know what if I want to bring young people or children into this world. What a tragic mistake that was. There is no sin in raising up children unto God. God be with you. God bless you and never. I remember my grandmother, the last testimony she ever gave before she passed away. Don't let go of the rod of iron. That was her last testimony. If you hold on to it, you can walk with Jesus. He'll be with you. He'll be right beside you, right behind you, just like Placido felt. I believe that's who it was. I just rejoiced when he gave that testimony. He's still with us. And he walks in our midst. And as long as you're holding on with a sincere heart, if you cry out to him, save me, and you're honest in your heart, and you're willing to do just like it said there in the 119th chapter, you're holding on to his precepts, his statutes, his laws, his word, his promises, his testimonies, you're going to make it to the end.